Welcome to City Valley Church. Our vision is to be a family, loving Jesus, growing together and reaching Yorkshire and the nations. We hope you are encouraged and hear Jesus speak to you as you listen to this recording.
If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away for a second time and prayed. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping, because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.
We often call Gethsemane a garden, picturing a place of quiet flowers and soft grass. But in the first century, it was a place of labour. Gethsemane literally means the oil press. To get oil, you didn't just squeeze the fruit. You placed olives under a massive, heavy stone wheel that crushed them until their juices flowed out. In Middle Eastern tradition, this oil was the lifeblood of society. It brought healing, light, and anointing. Oil was the primary balm for open wounds. Oil fueled the lamps in the temple and the home, and oil was poured on the kings of heads and priests to mark them as holy. But there is a hard truth to the olive. None of those things can be released while the fruit is whole. To provide light, healing, and anointing, the olive must be broken. This morning we look at Jesus, the Messiah, which literally means the Anointed One. In this passage, he enters the press for us. He feels the agonizing weight of the world's brokenness pressing down on him. He says his soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. In the Middle East, the juice of the olive is often called its blood. As Jesus prayed, we read in Luke that the anguish is so intense that his own sweat falls like great drops of blood. What is astonishing is that Jesus chose this. He stepped under the stone so that his life could be poured out as light and healing for us. So let's take a moment to reflect on what Jesus went through during those moments before he endured the cross. Take a moment to thank Jesus.
We continue the journey to the cross. Our next scripture is taken from Luke 22, verses 54 to 62. Then, seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, This man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, You also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is Galilean. Peter replied, Man, I don't know what you are talking about. Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the cock crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Just a few hours ago, Peter was in the garden with a sword ready to fight. But now the environment has changed. He isn't under the olive press stone. He's standing by a charcoal fire. In this culture, to eat or sit with someone was deeply significant. Sharing a meal meant sharing life and accepting the other person as family. Peter had eaten the Passover with Jesus only hours before. By saying, "I do not know him," Peter isn't just lying. He is breaking a sacred covenant of loyalty. When Peter denied Jesus for the third time, the Gospel of Luke tells us that the Lord turned and looked at Peter. It wasn't a look of "I told you so," but a look of profound, grieving love. In that moment, Peter's heart, which was determined would stay strong, crumbled under the pressure. So let's just take a moment to reflect. Peter denied Jesus because he wanted to stay warm and safe while Jesus was suffering. Where in your life have you chosen comfort or fitting in over standing with the truth of who Jesus is? Now imagine Jesus turning to look at you in your moments of failure. Do you see a judge? Or do you see the Saviour who already knew that you would stumble and loved you anyway? If you see a judge, ask Jesus to reveal his love afresh to you now. The story of Peter doesn't end in the courtyard. The same charcoal fire where Peter denied Jesus is the same kind of fire where Jesus would later cook breakfast for Peter on the beach to restore him. And then we move on.
This is from Matthew 27:27-31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head.
In the Middle East, honor is everything. To be mocked in public is a social crucifixion that happens before the physical one. The soldiers weren't just cruel, they were performing a parody. They gave him a robe to mock his majesty, a crown of thorns to mock his authority, and a reed to mock his power. Every symbol of leadership was turned into a weapon of shame. They tried to make him look like a fool to prove he wasn't a king. Yet in the upside-down kingdom of God, this is exactly where his kingship is proven. Not by how much power he exerts, but by how much shame he is willing to absorb for his people. The soldiers put a robe on Jesus to mock him. When have you felt the pain of being misunderstood, ridiculed, or treated unfairly? Can you picture Jesus standing next to you in that moment, knowing exactly how that sting feels? Jesus remains silent before his accusers. Is there an area in your life where you need to stop defending yourself and trust God to be your defender? Looking at the mocked Jesus, can you see his true glory? I just invite you to spend a moment acknowledging him as king, not because of his crown, but because of his sacrificial love. Now we are reaching the end of our journey to the cross. And at this point, I'm going to invite Al just to come back up and lead us in some worship as we prepare our hearts to take communion.
Let's stand again.
Thank you for listening. We pray you have been blessed by this talk today. If you would like to know more about our church, where we meet, or would like to speak with someone from City Valley, please visit our website at cityvalley.org.